This morning I want to talk about biblical guidelines regarding cultural behavior. This is so important to all of us. We deal with it constantly as we make decisions. What's right, what's wrong, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And the Apostle Paul, from our reading already this morning in verse 21, he had to make these decisions. When he was with the Jews, well, he acted one way. When he was with the Gentiles, he would act a different way. But always, in verse 21, always living under the law of Christ. So the old saying, when in Rome, do as those in Rome. But always doing the things that are right. So Paul was constantly changing the way that he lived in a particular culture, but always living in obedience to God. And of course, this is demonstrated in our PowerPoint this morning. As you see, cultural differences, part based on their religion. One only rides around in a buggy pulled by a car, and another may ride pulled by a horse, and another would ride in a sports car. We see those differences today. Well, what are some of the decisions we have to make regarding cultural behavior? And I want to go over some of these major decisions. Then I want to talk very briefly about guidelines in making these decisions from the Word of God. Well, of course, we've got to make decisions regarding clothing and modesty. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I've got this demonstrated on the PowerPoint as we see a couple dressed in the 19th century and then a young lady dressed in the 21st century. And we see very much the differences in what is accepted culturally. You know, even in my lifetime, what is considered modest has changed. I remember when I was a young boy and going to see one of my great-grandfathers. And when we would go, and usually be a family trip, there would be several of us going. And I remember the lady saying, "Now you can't wear pants when you go see Pow Paw. You gotta wear a dress." And I tell you what, they wouldn't wear pants for nothing, because they knew his strict feelings, beliefs, that women wore dresses all of the time. And so, for the sake of his conscience, when we went to see Pow Paw, the ladies would wear dresses. Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 9, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly." Now that changes from generation to generation. As a matter of fact, it changes within culture to culture within this very day in which we live. One of the examples I remember from visiting Washington, D.C. the last time, I've shared this with you one time, and I was just fascinated by it. We went to see the original court chambers, and there was a balcony above the lower level, and we were standing in the lower level. We'd sit there. They had a little presentation that they made, and there was a railing there, and there was a really short little curtain at the bottom of the railing, and that was called the modesty curtain. And as it was explained to us, that it was there so that the men looking up would not see the ankles of the women. You see, things have changed. They're different today in our culture. As a matter of fact, the women in the church here today, assembled with us today, if they were living in the first century wearing what they're wearing today, it would be thought to be sinful. Things have changed the last couple of thousand years. Even in our world today, things are different. Here is a picture I've just put up of a woman who is in Afghanistan. Current day picture, and compared to a 21st century woman living in the United States of America today, things are very different. You know, if our ladies went over to Afghanistan today, they would wear something different, because modesty, culturally, modesty is something much different over there than it is here in our country today. So we have to make these decisions, and we make these decisions based on the Word of God. What is proper and discreet and modest? And we know that these things change over time, but we're always living under the law of Christ and doing those things which are right in the sight of God. Well, also physical adornments. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Physical adornment is a decision that we have to make today in our culture. And it changes from culture to culture today, and it's changed over years, even within our own country. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2, and just jumping in the middle of things here, as Peter's giving instruction to the women, as they observe, speaking of the husbands, that they could be converted, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit which is precious in the sight of God. And so we have to make these decisions of hairstyle and jewelry and clothing. And what's more important than all of these is the godly spirit that is within the person. We have to make sure that we're sending the right message and that the message is in harmony with the Word of God as we live here upon the earth as His children. Some other decisions, and this goes along with adornment, I guess, is that of piercings and body piercings. That's a big thing today. And we know that there are some piercings that are discreet and chaste and modest, and there's others that send totally the wrong message. And that of tattooing also, that's become a very popular thing in the pop culture with young folks today, and that is also a decision which we must make. We could go back to the Old Testament. We see in the Old Testament that some were even wearing nose rings. Now, in our culture, a nose ring, certainly some years ago, would send the wrong message, but it was very much an acceptable thing, even in the Old Testament. And also that of tattooing. We see in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, the command was not to tattoo or not to cut their bodies in any way. And so these are decisions we have to make today as Christians. Well, also, we must make decisions regarding our conduct. And I'm sorry, I forgot to put the scripture on there. It's Hebrews chapter 13, if you'll turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18. And here, the one writing, I believe is Paul. And he says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And so, our conduct must be honorable in all things, and I would call your attention to the context that we won't take time to read specifically, verses 15 through 17. And so we must make decisions about our conduct, the things that we do, even the games that we play. I remember Miss Irene telling me that when she was young, even a young adult, that playing a card game, I mean, that was just a sinful thing. You didn't play with a deck of cards. And you sure didn't have a deck of cards in your house. And I've heard of others even playing a game with dice. At other times in the past, that's thought to be something that's wrong. And those things today, we understand, are all right, done in the right way with the games that are lawful in the sight of God. And of course, today we have technology to deal with. And there are many sinful behaviors associated with technology that Christians are to stay away from, but there are also some good ones that Christians can involve themselves with. So we must make decisions about all of these things. So what must we do? We must go to God's Word and apply principles that span from culture to culture, from age to age, for as long as the Lord would have this earth to exist, maybe millions and billions of years, I have no idea. But the Word of God and these principles will be applied for as long as this world exists, to make these decisions from age to age. So we must go to God's Word and pull out from it the guidelines, the principles whereby we make these decisions. Now, the first thing I decided to talk about is that of expediencies, because we've talked about that already in the adult Bible class and in the young folks class. And so I want to review two passages. I want to pull out the general guidelines from that, because that is where we must start Then there are four other guidelines which are applicable to making these cultural decisions regarding our behaviors that we need to look at. So go with me. I hear your Bible's turning already to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll look at two scriptures here in this book. And here Paul is talking about the expediency of eating meat. And that was, meat was eaten in some cultures and certain meats were not eaten in other cultures. And you know, also I have a daughter who's a vegan. She's chosen not to eat meat. So these are decisions that we must make even today in our culture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful for me. So we must understand, we don't have a lot of time to talk about each one of these individually, that Paul is talking about the realm of lawful things which we can use as expedients today. Expedient is just something that's helpful or beneficial in doing something that God has commanded us to do. And it would be like he's told us to go and we would, ride in a car, fly in an airplane, ride on a horse, walk with our feet, whatever it may be. So those are all expediencies. And so Paul is talking about the lawful realm of expediencies. Now notice what he says. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. Your Bible may say expedient or beneficial. Then he repeats the first part of that previous sentence. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now go over to chapter 10, and he again addresses this. Chapter 10, verse 23. And he again starts out as before. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. So let's just pull that together very quickly, just overviewing it. That something must be lawful. That's the first thing. And if it is lawful, then for a given situation, it must be helpful. It's got to help us achieve what we're achieving. It's got to edify. That is, it's building other people up. You know, if it's lawful, but it's going to tear someone down, we're not to do that. It cannot be our master. In other words, it cannot have control over us, and it cannot be something we're addicted to. Now, it may be lawful, but if you're addicted to it, for you, it's not something you can do. And then also, it must be good for our neighbor. It's not something that's self-serving, but it's good for our neighbor. Now, the Apostle Paul, as we've already read today in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, which, by the way, is in the middle of the scriptures we're talking about, the Apostle Paul himself uses an example that he too had to make these cultural decisions. And he did so always, we've already looked at verse 21, living under the law of Christ, but there were decisions to be made. When he was with the Jews, he would live a particular way so that he could be close to them and win some of them to Christ. But when he was with the Gentiles, he would live a different way so that he could be close to them and possibly win them to Christ. Now look at verse 22, because we've not read 22 yet this morning. Now why did he do this? Verse 22. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. When we're making these cultural decisions, one earring, two earrings, three earrings, you know, what's right, what's appropriate? We deal with those discussions in our household. What's appropriate? You know, what's discreet? What is the adornment of a godly woman sending the right message? To tattoo or not tattoo? Serious conversations for young people because of the pop culture in which we lived in. But in which we live in. Now Paul says there's something even more important than earrings. There's something even more important as to braiding your hair a certain way. There's something more important than wearing a certain kind of dress or a certain kind of shirt and tie or whatever for a guy. And that is, what is the impact you're having on other people? And Paul said that I did everything that I could to positively impact people with the gospel. Now let's make some some illustrations here for us today. Some things we don't want to think or say if we truly live this way. We don't want to say, I don't care what you think, or I don't care what they think. We always care what everybody thinks. We want to be a positive example leading people to Christ. And so we care what other people think about us. But we don't want to say, they shouldn't care what I do. Yeah, you know what? We want people to care what we do because we want to be a positive influence. We want people to notice us. We want people to pay attention about our conduct and the way that we dress and the way that we present ourselves. Yes, we care. We don't want to say this either. It's my business and no one else's. That's my business. That's not your business. Well, yeah, you know what? When it comes to our public affairs, we want it to be other people's business. Because we're trying to do something that's more important than just what kind of dress you wear, or whether you got one earring or two earrings, or how you braid your hair. We're trying to win souls to Christ. So yes, we want it to be their business. We don't want to say this. I don't care if that hurts them or not. They should keep their nose out of it. Again, we want them to keep their nose in it so that we can be this living example for Christ. One more. I don't care even if I am addicted to it. It's my body. It's my body and nobody else's business. Yes, we do care. You know, Beth and I have a running joke. She'll say, I need chocolate. I say, honey, now if you need chocolate, there's a problem. If you want chocolate, that's okay. And of course, that's what she really means by it. But if you need chocolate, like you have some craving that's got to be satisfied, then we've got a problem we need to take care of. So whatever it is, we can't let it control us. We always control it. Well, I wanted to just very briefly overview that. Basic principles that we talk about all the time. We've been talking about recently in our classes. But I want to go on to some more that we haven't been talking about recently. In addition to this, for something to be lawful and helpful to edify, it also must glorify God. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And again, right in this context that we've been focusing on this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. The things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we put on, they all must bring glory to God. For my mother going to see my father's grandfather, it meant wearing a dress. He was a good, strong Christian man, and he believed from the generation he grew up in that a woman should always wear a dress. So to glorify God in his presence, she wore a dress. And I appreciate her so much for that lesson that I learned as a very young child. Remember Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, we won't read all these passages today, that we must exalt Christ in our bodies. That what we put on, the adornment, one earring, two earrings, must exalt Christ. That is the important thing, to exalt Christ in our lives. And also 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2 and chapter 4, that our outward appearance and behavior must profess godliness. You know, when someone sees us, it might be a neighbor, it might be someone we've never met, we might be just at the mall with our friends, they should say, you know, that's a good person right there. Say, that's a good person. That's a good young person right there. Look at the way that person is dressed. They're not out here acting like all these other people over here, dressing in such a despicable way. Look at that person. Boy, that looks like a Christian. That's what they should say for every one of us. All the time, that we're in public. It's like the song number 460 that we sing, the world's Bible. We are the world's Bible. We are the only Bible lots of people are ever going to read. And so we have to be that message to the world, exalting Christ in our body, professing godliness and glorifying God in all that we do and in the adornments of our body. That's a very important decision that we have to make. Turn your Bibles also with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now this one is a hard one. This one is a hard one right here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. That's a hard one. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. I was talking to Dawn about this. She said, Dad, that's impossible. You're always going to have somebody that disagrees with something. I said, yes, honey, but that's a generalization. Generally speaking, it's respectable with everybody. Respectable with everybody. 1 Corinthians 9:21, obeying God in all things. We've already talked about that. If someone is a sinner living in sin, they want you to do something wrong, they'll respect you if you live in sin. No, that's not what we're talking about. Doing those things that are good and righteous, that are respectable in the sight of men. 1 Corinthians 9:19, making ourselves slaves to all to win some. So now let me make this point. Christians are not on the cutting edge of pop culture. That's impossible. We cannot be on the cutting edge of pop culture. Because if we do, we will be doing things that are not respectable with the majority of people in our culture. This is new. This is different. Many people are going to think that it's outrageous, that it's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Some of those things may change over time. And some may not. But as Christians, always bringing honor to God, doing what is respectable in the sight of all men, we are not going to be on the cutting edge of pop culture. And this is particularly hard for the young folks. Because they want to fit in, they want to be doing the things that are popular, that everybody else is doing, to do the new thing that's out. And young folks, just listen to me. Many of those things you should refrain from. Now, you know, for Christians in 2010, it may be something you shouldn't do because it's not respectable in the sight of all men. Maybe in 2050, Christians will be doing those things and, you know, it's just all right. It's perfectly fine. There's no big deal about that. And some of those things in 2010 that people think are so wrong, they're going to stay wrong. And so we have to do those things that are respectable in the sight of all men. Now, young folks, let me tell you something. Don't do things that your parents believe are dishonorable and disrespectful. We'll talk about it in just a few minutes. Young folks, you know your brains don't even fully develop till you're like 23. And so you have to understand that some things that you think are going to be okay, your parents are going to disagree with. You've got to go with what your parents think. We'll talk about that just a little bit more in the lesson. One example of this, tattooing. Well, when I was growing up, tattooing was not honorable in the sight of anyone's eyes that I could ever remember. I mean, it sent a sign that you're wild, you're rebellious, you're crazy, you're that kind of person. And, you know, that sort of changed a little bit today. But still, one cannot say that it is respectable in the sight of all men. You can't do that. Now, I will confess that maybe in 2050 or 2100, things will have changed. I don't know if they will or not. I just know about today. I honestly, truly do not believe you can say that tattooing is respectable in the sight of all men. Maybe it will never be. And there would be some good reasons for that. But I just don't see how you can say that today. Let's talk about another guideline here. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. We're not to do those things that are lustful or licentious. Those things are sinful. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Now, lust, that is a strong desire for sin. And we're not to obey sin with these strong desires. We are to remove those desires. Change those desires so that they're desires for good things and not for sinful things. This is a challenge. This is hard to do, and that's really not the scope of the lesson today. But that's the challenge that we all face. So we're not to engage in lustful and sinful or licentious. Some of the translations for licentious says sensual behaviors. Also go with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, a passage that we know so well. And then we'll make just a little bit of application. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And so those things of lust, those strong desires of sin, we've got to learn to change those things in our life and not to live a licentious. And I've chosen not to bring up passages such as in the book of Jude about licentiousness. Licentiousness is unbridled or unrestrained lust. In other words, the old King James helped me to understand it. It uses the word wantonness. Wantonness. It is doing those sinful things that you want to do. You can't do that. You've got to control it. You've got to keep it from within. You've got to change the way that you think. You can't release yourself to do those sinful things. We have to control our desires so that we hate sin and that we don't dwell on sin. Therefore, we do not unloose sinful desires. And I'll give you the illustration of dances. Dances in high school and middle school and others such as that. Why is it that Christians don't participate in those? Because of the lustfulness and the licentiousness of what is going on. And we've talked about that in great detail before. That's what, you know, you go to a dance at a high school, what do? They turn off the lights. Why do they turn off the lights? You know, it's obvious. People are doing things there that they don't want other people to see. And so this is one example of the lustful, licentious things we do not participate in as Christians. One more for your consideration this morning, and it's Romans chapter 14. That we do not do things that are questionable. If it's a questionable thing, we don't do it. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Now eating is okay. And from the chapter beginning in the beginning of chapter 14, he's talking about things of opinion, expediencies, the things that we can choose to do or not to do. It's okay to eat meats. It's all right to do that. But if there's some question in your mind, for you it would be a sin. For you it would be a sin. I was talking to my father some time ago, some years ago, and I remember as a young boy when he was studying the head covering issue. And this was in the old days. You had the reel-to-reel tape machines. He had a reel-to-reel tape machine, and he was recording all the scriptures so that he could listen to them and studying that. And so I was talking to him some years about it, and he said, you know, I'm just not real sure about that. I said, Dad, then Mom needs to wear a head covering anyway. If you're not sure about it, she needs to do it anyway. Because if it's not from faith, it's of sin. We've got to be sure of what we're doing. Now, the point of this is, if there's something that's questionable, you may think it's right, but if there's some question about that, you just need not to do it. You need not to do it. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want us to notice once again the teaching of the Apostle Paul. And there, verse 21 and 22. But examine everything carefully. And indeed, we're to do that. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form, or your Bible may say, every appearance of evil. Now, if it even looks like it might be wrong, don't do it. Don't do it. If there's just some little question about it, don't do it. Young folks, peer pressure is strong. If you have someone trying to get you to do something, you've not heard about it, or you're not sure about it, whether it's right, just don't do it. You don't have to do it. Hey, let me give you some illustrations. Some things we don't want to think or we don't want to say. What I do with my body is my business. No, that's not true. That's God's business. We don't want to engage in sinful or lustful activity. Here's another one. I don't care what other people think. Sure, we care what other people think. We glorify God in our bodies. We do what's honorable and respectable in the sight of all men. We don't engage in any questionable behavior. We care what other people think. Here's one more. I'm not sure if it's right, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, we should never think that, never say that. It should be, I'm not sure if that's right, so I'm definitely not going to do it because I'm not sure. Well, just one more short point. I know my time is up, but this won't take but just a moment. I want to reinforce this fact that young folks and new Christians, you must rely on the sound judgment of mature Christians, other mature Christians. Young folks, I want to remind you from Proverbs 22:15 that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and that the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Young folks, I want you to understand that foolishness is bound up in your hearts, your minds, because you have not been fully trained yet. So you must rely upon your parents. You must rely upon the elders of this congregation in making decisions such as we've talked about today. You can't just make up your own mind thinking that you have all the wisdom that is required. Please believe the word of God, Proverbs 22:15, that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 5. I want to point this out from the New Testament. That before you can make the decisions on the things such as we are talking about, to discern between good and evil, that you must first grow spiritually to maturity, and that takes time. You can't be 12 years old out here making these decisions, and you can't be 20 years old making some of these decisions either. Hebrews 5 and verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, even the most young here know you shouldn't worship Satan. You should worship God. They've made that discernment. But many of the things we're talking about this morning take a great deal of maturity to make these decisions. And young people, please believe me when I say you're ill-equipped to make some of those decisions. All of us who have been around very long look back on our childhood, even when we were 20 and 21 and 22, and see that we thought some things were right, but we just did not have the spiritual maturity to make the right decision. And you too, there will come a time in your life when you realize the same thing. There's an old saying, when you're a young person growing up, you think you know everything and your parents are stupid. When you get to be about 23, you understand you were the stupid ones and your parents, they were the smart ones. But it takes you to get there first before you realize that. I'm going to close. Let me remind you of a few passages here. Proverbs 8:33, heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Proverbs 10:8, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Proverbs 19:20, Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. And finally, Ecclesiastes 7:5. It is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the songs of fools. Young folks, those who are new Christians, young in the faith, realize you must have time to mature spiritually. The young folks who are here today, realize you're not equipped to make some of the decisions that we've talked about. Rely upon your parents' spiritual guidance and the elders of this congregation as they give you instruction in the matters relating to our culture today and the behaviors that exalt Christ. Listen to them, and as the Bible commands, obey them. Thank you so much for your good attention with a lesson that's very important for us, but also very involved. We want to extend the gospel invitation. Now, if you get your songbooks out and turn to number 325, I am resolved. And maybe there's some resolutions all of us need to make in the things we've talked about today, just in the way that we live and conduct ourselves and the culture in which we live. And let's make those resolutions. If you're not a Christian this morning, the greatest resolution of all that you can make is to put on Christ this very day. How do you do that? Just in simple obedience to what He's asked us to do. Believing in Him, you repent of your sins. That is to change your mind, to have a change of thought and heart to do that which is right from this point forward. To confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You'll be added to the church. Your sins will be washed away. You can this very day begin exalting Christ in your body as His disciple and the Son of God. We can help you in all this morning. Won't you step to the front now as we stand and sing.